It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. I'm Steve Thompson. Tom Schroyer back in studio. Already has a long bike ride under his belt this morning. What a lovely day it is. Just a beauty.
It's just gorgeous out there, Steve. Yeah, you're right. We've already had our 40-miler in for the morning, and we're excited to be here again here on Minnesota Law with you to talk about employment law with our guest, Marcy Frost. Marcy is a shareholder or partner for most folks in Moss and Barnett. And Marcy focuses her practice in the area of employment law, where she advises businesses, Steve, on a wide variety of employment issues. And Marcy is actually from Nebraska, graduated here from the University of Minnesota Law School with honors. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you.
Now, Marcy, as our listeners know, we are a business law firm, but we do also advise individuals concerning their rights under employment laws, as well as business owners. And you do both of that, too, correct?
Yes. Typically, we are representing the employers, but there are times when there is an employee who's negotiating an agreement or has issues with their employer, and we can help them through those problems as well.
And with more than 70 lawyers practicing in the area of business law, we are able to serve needs of all sorts of with questions about all kinds of employment law issues and related matters. And I also want to introduce Steve to my left here, John Rossman, who's joining us here today. John is the head of Moss and Barnett's Creditors Remedies Practice Area and will be sitting in as host next week. So he's going to be helping out a bit today, too.
And he said we could take the show on the road if the weather's good next week, and that's a great idea. We should have had the show outside today. Hopefully the weather's as good next week when we do it outside somewhere.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's make plans to be in a park. I think that would be a great show. And John joined us on our first ever program, Minnesota Law.
That's exactly right. He was introduced then to our listening audience, and I know I join John and Marcy in encouraging our listeners to please give us a call if you have any questions. Marcy is an expert in employment law, for example, and John here as well has some creditors' remedies, bankruptcy law experience. And, of course, I'm a trial lawyer, and we have a broad range of subject matter knowledge here in the studio today. Now, one of the things, Steve, that Marcy does for her community service, which is just so outstanding and we're so very, very proud of her, is she serves with the Employer Support of the Garden Reserve, which is ESGR. And Marcy, perhaps if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners what it is that you do with ESGR to help support our Guards people and active duty troops.
Well, ESGR is a organization put together by the Department of Defense. So when I'm doing my ESGR work, I'm actually working for the Department of Defense. And what we do as ombudsman is we serve as a liaison between returning service members, people who have been serving our country, usually abroad, but it can even be domestic service or just their regular weekend training, and their employers. So when there is a question about what the employer's obligations are about reemploying the person or what the employee's rights are once they get back on the job, either party, but typically it's the service member, can contact ESGR, and ESGR will assign the case out to one of the ombudsmen here in Minnesota, and the ombudsman will work with the employee and the employer to help them understand what the law is. The law that governs this issue is called the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, which is called USERRA for short. And the ombudsman help the employer and the employee understand what their rights and obligations are and hopefully get them to agree on the proper result under the law.
So as an ombudsman, and that is the right term for it, I know we checked that this morning, as an ombudsman, you help to facilitate or mediate potential questions or disputes that might arise.
Yes, that's correct. We don't have the power as ombudsman to negotiate a deal that's outside of USERRA. So, for instance, if an employer says, I don't want to bring this person back, I don't care what my obligations are, I'll just pay him off. And if the employee says, hey, I'm willing to take the money, and it's just an issue of negotiating the dollars, that is not something that we can do as ESGR ombudsman.
And if the employer and the employee aren't able to work things out, then what happens after it leaves your domain?
The service member at all times has the right to take the issue to the Department of Labor. So if we aren't able to get the employer and employee to agree on a proper result under the statute, then I cannot refer it to the Department of Labor. as an ombudsman. Only the service member can.
And your services are free to the service member, correct?
That is correct.
And I was wondering, Marcy, how typical disputes are in this area. I would hope that most employers work with their employees who are serving in the military. But are there a number of these? I guess I just haven't heard. They maybe don't make it into the news, but if someone serves in your capacity, there has to be a number of disputes.
Well, I have actually been surprised at how little I have been called upon. I've been an ombudsman for a year, and I think I've had 4 or 5 cases in a year, and this is a year in which we've had a lot of service members returning.
Sure.
So for the most part, I think that employers are living up to their obligations. The problem is that a lot of employers have no idea what their obligations are. I've been practicing employment law for many, many years, and I've only recently delved into what the nitty-gritty of this statute is because it hasn't been needed for so many years, and it's just not something that employers know that much about.
And Tom, Marcy, John, this is an area where Moss and Barnett could assist employers on what their obligations are and helping them up front understand what their obligations are.
That's absolutely right. I've been working with USERRA substantially, you know, since I became an ombudsman, and I have also had the opportunity to advise several of our business clients on questions that they have had regarding USERRA. And it's always better to get it right the first time and not have to get the call from the Department of Labor.
I must say, Steve, I have a son in the military. He's in the Navy. In fact, sailing on the Ronald Reagan right now. And, you know, we're certainly firmly supporting our military personnel. But there are issues that USERRA poses, challenges for especially the small business owner that I think are very important for us to be aware of and to anticipate. And so it will be very helpful to talk through those issues here today with Marcy.
And we have a break coming up. And before we get into what an employer's obligations are and what someone serving in the military can expect when they get back, we'll get into that topic coming up momentarily. We're going to take a break right now. Our phone number on the program, as Tom pointed out, calls are always welcome. Today we're talking specifically employment law, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. By the way, Moss and Barnett online, it's moss-barnett.com. Welcome back. A beautiful Saturday. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Tom Schroyer is our host. John Rossman and Marcy Frost join us in studio. And I love these long names for things. Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. We're going to learn more about that, right, Tom?
Yes, Steve. That is shortened up to USERRA
Good.
In everyday language that we use, although that's a mouthful, too. And so I thought we'd first talk with Marcy generally about USERRA, where it comes from, what it's designed to do, and just generally how it works. And I see we have some calls, so we'll get to those in
sure.
a moment then. But, Marcy, maybe if you could just explain briefly what USERRA is all about.
Sure. USERRA was actually enacted in 1994, so it's only about 14 years old, but it followed on several different statutes. So the concepts under USERRA have been around since 1940. And what USERRA does is it gives the employee of a either public sector or private sector employer the right to return to employment when their military service has ended. It secures their benefits while they're gone and basically secures their job when they return. And employees have to get through what in ESGR we like to call 6 gates. There's 6 qualifying things they have to do in order to get the rights under USERRA, but they're very easy to meet. The first thing is that they have to show that they hold a position of employment. They're an employee. The second is that they left for the purpose of service in the uniformed services. The third is they have to give prior notice, but it doesn't have to be very long, and it doesn't have to be very formalized. With any single employer, they can't have had more than 5 years of military service, but there are so many things that are accepted from that 5 years that it's almost impossible to get up to the 5 years. Everything that you think might count is exempted, basically. The fifth thing is that they have to end their service under honorable conditions. And the sixth is that they have to timely return or request to return to work. If they can meet those six gates, then they're entitled to the benefits of USERRA.
And those benefits fundamentally are that their job is protected, and when their active deployment or active duty ends, they're entitled to their job or its equivalent to be restored to them.
That's right. And sometimes there are circumstances when they're actually entitled to be returned to a promoted position. And USERRA also protects employees from discrimination based on their military status. So if somebody believes that they're not being hired because the employer doesn't want to hire somebody who they think is going to get shipped off to Iraq, this would be the law that would protect the employee. And it also has an interesting feature that once the person has returned to work, has been restored to the proper position, they have protection against termination. Depending on the length of the service that they had, it can be for up to a year that they have special protections once they're back with their employer.
And does it depend how large the employer is? What if it's just a mom-and-pop auto repair shop with two employees and one of the employees goes into the military? Does that matter, the size of the business?
No, it doesn't. And that is one thing that makes USERRA very unique. Almost all of the federal statutes that protect employees have a minimum size of the employer, but USERRA does not. If mom and pop have one employee and that employee goes to the military, his or her job is protected.
Wow. Because I do know that people, as their businesses grow, need to keep in mind the number of employees, because that has some implications in the area of employment law.
That's right. Under federal law, certain laws kick in when you have 15 employees. Title VII kicks in with 15. The Age Discrimination Act kicks in at 20. The Family and Medical Leave Act kicks in at 50. The WARN Act, which is protection when there's a layoff, requiring people to get notice, that kicks in at 100 employees. But the Minnesota Human Rights Act, which is the anti-discrimination statute in this state, applies to employers who have one or more employees. So this isn't unheard of.
But with USERRA, doesn't matter.
No matter how
small the business is, you better be aware of that.
That's correct.
Well,
Steve, should we take some of the calls?
Why not? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. That's 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. And that is a toll-free call from anywhere in the United States. So if you're listening on the CCO or online at WCCORadio.com, by all means, give us a call. We go to the phones right now. Scott's been waiting in St. Louis Park. Scott, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Just had a question. I was let go from an employer a little while back and had accumulated time. Was just wondering if I'm entitled to that pay that I would have for vacation time.
Yeah, that's going to depend entirely on what the employer's policy says. That was an issue that was very complicated in Minnesota over the last year, but the Minnesota Supreme Court recently ruled on that. And basically, whatever the employer's policy is what's going to hold. So if they have a policy that says that you don't get paid anything out, then you don't get paid anything out. If they have a policy that says you're entitled to your paid-out vacation pay unless you quit without giving us notice, then as long as you have met that requirement, you're entitled to it. If their policy is absolutely silent and it doesn't say anything about what happens when you terminate, generally, you're going to be entitled to that. Might have to fight for it, but you ought to be entitled to it if they're absolutely silent on it.
And I believe they are absolutely silent. So how do I take action on that?
Well, the first thing you want to do is go back and check what the policy says. You're going to want to make sure you understand what the policy says, and then I would suggest, as a first step, that you contact the employer and say, "I think I'm entitled to this." It's probably not so much money that they're going to want to worry about it. So sometimes they'll pay just so that they can avoid the problem. And otherwise, you have the right to take it to small claims court, or you can go to the Department of Labor, or you can seek private counsel.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call. That gets into a bigger topic, though, for employers about spelling things out like that in an employee handbook. It gets back to, I guess, the size of the business again. We talked about USERRA and how it doesn't matter how small the business is, they need to comply with that policy. Should even the smallest businesses have some sort of employee handbook or some sort of guidelines to deal with matters like this?
Well, there are certain policies that an employer, no matter what their size is, should have. For instance, a sexual harassment policy. Even if you are the mom-and-pop store with one employee, you should have a sexual harassment policy. As to a handbook, my general rule is if you're so small that you all sit in the same room and someone can call out a question and you can answer it, it may not be worth the hassle of getting a handbook, and it may be adding a level of formality to your business that you don't want to have. But once you get to the point that people aren't going to necessarily know what the answer is or where to go, then it's time to consider having a handbook. Another policy that it's important to have would be a sick leave policy. If you have exempt employees, those are employees who are not entitled to overtime, then it's important that you have a sick leave policy, or think about one at least.
Thanks so much for joining us. Steve Thompson in studio. Tom Schroyer is back. We have John Rossman joining us in studio and Marcy Frost. And by the way, our phone lines are open right now. Buzz was on earlier, had to hang up. Hopefully he can call back with his question. He had a very good question for us. 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. And Tom, we want to get back with Marcy on the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, USERRA, a little bit better.
Exactly, yeah. Right, Steve. And the statute is very, very important, of course, to Minnesotans, not only if they're serving overseas or have been deployed on active duty, but also, Marcy, it applies to them when they're doing their weekend duty.
That's correct. It does apply at all times. And the problem that most frequently arises with people who are staying here in Minnesota and working their jobs most of the time is when they have to leave for weekend training or the 2 weeks every year that they go for training. And with the weekend training, oftentimes the problem is employers that require employees to work weekends. And the question is, what do they do if the weekend the person's supposed to work is the weekend that they have to go to drill? And so it does raise some questions at that time. But the general rule is the employer has no leeway. They have to give the person the time off. Because the person has no leeway, they have to report for duty. And so the question then becomes, can the employer make them work a different weekend? And generally, no. If the person is scheduled to work the first weekend of the month and have the next 3 weekends free, and they end up having to go drill that first weekend, typically the employer can't require them to come in and work on their weekend off. Oftentimes, what the service member will do, if they know in advance what weekend they have, they will try to schedule their weekend off for the weekend that they have drill, because they don't want to lose the weekend worth of pay from their employer. So it is often not a problem, but it can cause problems for employers and employees when their needs don't exactly meet up.
So what happens if there's an emergency call-up of the guard? And in that case, somebody's on the job and they're integral to what the employer is doing, and all of a sudden they're called up to duty. What happens then?
Well, as I said, the employee who's being called has no leeway. You can't tell Uncle Sam, "I'm sorry, I'm busy that weekend." They have to show up for duty, and the employer has no choice. They have to let them go. They can't tell the person that if they go, they lose their job. That's not allowed. They have to allow the employee to go, and the employer has to make do with that emergency. Whenever there is an opportunity, they try to give the soldiers notice, because they understand that these soldiers do have civilian jobs, but sometimes there are emergencies and the notice period is not long.
What about employers and their obligation to fill the gap? Because what the military pays and what someone may be making in civilian life could be quite a difference. Is there any obligation whatsoever under this act for employers to help fill that void in an individual's paycheck?
There is not, at least for private employers. The USERRA does not require them to give paid leave. Employers are encouraged to try to fill that gap in order to to help the service members. ESGR, the Employer Support for Guard and Reserve, has a program of trying to encourage employers to go above and beyond what the law requires. And one of the things that USERRA encourages employers to do is to fill that gap. And there are employers in town, I believe Target has a policy. They just won an award from ESGR for the way they go above and beyond to help their employees who serve.
Outstanding.
I wanted to follow up, Marcy, on a comment you made earlier that I thought was pretty interesting. And you said that in some cases a returning service member might even be entitled to a promotion when they return to their prior employment.
Yeah, the way that USERRA works, it's based on what they call the escalator principle. And what the escalator principle does is if you imagine an escalator, which can go up or down, they assume that the employee goes back onto the escalator wherever it is at the point that they return. So the a common situation would be a job where there are gradual promotions that come as a period of time. You know, you are a junior associate and for the first 2 years, and then you become an associate, and then you become a junior, whatever the next step up is. And if it's basically based on the time period on the job, your service, your military service can't count against you. So if you have to be there 2 years to go from position one to position two, and you're there for a year, and then you're gone in the military for a year, you come back, that looks like 2 years, and so you're put back into that higher position.
We have a phone call, and by the way, the number is on the program, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. It is Minnesota Law on a Saturday, presented by Moss and Barnett, online at moss-barnett.com. And we go to Rob in Lakeville. Rob, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing today?
Good, Rob. How are you?
I got pretty much just two comments. For one, state of Minnesota is one of the best as far as supporting their troops when they come home, your National Guardsmen, reservists. I just got back from Iraq about 5 months ago, and I tell you what, Minnesota is setting the standard on their even the government, the state, plus the employers. But the stress that's been putting on the Guardsmen now and the battalions to get their soldiers trained to go back overseas is turning into not just a weekend drill, it's turning into a Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. And the last 6 months I've been going to drill, it's been Friday, all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So actually the battalions and the state are putting a lot more pressure on the actual employers than they're already putting put on by having their employees gone for over a year at a time.
Yeah, that's true. It is difficult on both employers and the service members right now, but that's the nature of the military's obligations at this time. And you're also right about Minnesota employers leading the pack. As I said a moment ago, Target just recently won an award from the Minnesota Employer Support for Guard and Reserve. They'll be nominated for a national award, and Minnesota companies have won those national awards several times in the last, I think, four times in the last 5 years. Minnesota employers have won national awards because of what they do to go above and beyond the requirements of USERRA.
And Marcy, our caller mentioned the stress of returning service people, and I understand, too, that you have worked with the ESGR folks to assist returning service members in that regard.
Well, the military themselves have programs for service members who are returning from long deployments, and they actually require them to go through programs like an all-day program. I believe it's when they return 30 days after they return, 60 days after they return, 90 days. I'm not exactly sure what the schedule is. And at one of those times, there is a table set up at the reintegration program by ESGR, and the service members are required to come and sort of check in on what's going on with their civilian employment.
If I'm in the hiring process and I run a business and someone comes in, is it okay? Is it legal for me to say, what is your military status? Are you in the Guards? Can I do that as a potential employer?
Yes, you can, and it sort of depends. Whether you should or not depends on what your reason is for asking the question. With other kinds of laws like the age discrimination or other kinds of discrimination laws, employers generally don't have any good reason for knowing that information, and so if you ask it, and then you don't hire the person, they're likely to turn around and say, oh, it's because I gave them that information. But with the military service, there often is a good reason to ask, and that is that military people often make excellent employees. And so employers often, all else being equal, may want to choose the military person either because they tend to be more disciplined and more structured, or also from a patriotic point of view, employers want to be able to help these people. So if those are the employer's reasons for asking the question, then it's okay to ask.
Excellent. Minnesota Law continues, presented by Moss and Barnett. Marcy Frost joining us in studio. John Rossman is here. Tom Schroyer is back on the program as well. We have much more coming up. By the way, Employment Law in the Spotlight today. Our phone number is 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. It is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett. Online, moss-barnett.com. Tom Schroyer. John Rossman and Marcy Frost in the studio today in the Spotlight Employment Law, but particularly employment law and how it deals with military service. And Tom, welcome back to the show today. Good to see you. Once again, quickly, Tom's already been on a 40-mile bike ride today. That's unbelievable. But
that was just a warm-up, Steve.
Wow.
We're really excited, of course, to be here again today. And Marcy Frost brings tremendous expertise in employment law to our listeners. So if they have calls, we certainly welcome and encourage those. And as we're talking here, Marcy, back again about USERRA, understanding that you've had a number of interesting cases because the situations can really be not only heartrending but also quite complicated when they arise.
Yes, I actually have found that a lot of the fact patterns are very difficult, and it's not clear all the time what USERRA requires. There was one situation that I was dealing with that involved a construction company, and one of the rules under USERRA is that although almost every single employee is covered, if somebody is hired for a truly seasonal or temporary position where there's no expectation that the employment is going to last longer than a short period of time, then they have protections under USERRA against discrimination and those kinds of things, but the reemployment rights don't apply. And so the employer's position was, hey, this was a seasonal job or this was just for this one particular contract, and we don't have to take him back because the season's over, the contract's over, and we don't need this person anymore. The problem was that the person had actually worked there continuously for 2 years without a single break of employment. Whenever the season ended, they found more work for him. Whenever a contract ended, they found a new contract for him. And everyone who had been on the contract that he was on at the time he left for service was still working for the company. But when he came back, they said, we don't have a spot for him. And that was a little problematic, and it ended up with being taken to the Department of Labor.
And so when it gets to the Department of Labor, then they take over, and if there's an action to be enforced, they will be responsible for doing that on behalf of the service member.
Well, the service member has several options. The service member can take an issue to the Department of Labor, or they can sue it out privately. But the Department of Labor will investigate it. They have certainly more power to get information from an employer than the ESGR has. ESGR can ask for information, but you're not required to get it. A private attorney can use the civil discovery procedures to get it. But the DOL can get at the information and work with the employer to resolve the situation. But if the DOL can't get it resolved, then it gets referred on to the Department of Justice, and they can take an action against the employer. And again, the employee still has the right to do it through a private attorney.
And you had mentioned earlier, the good news is that the number of these cases are far and few between, but employers should be aware that once the Department of Labor gets involved, that is a serious situation, and employers should make sure that they're avoiding that at all costs and understand what the Act says.
Right. I mean, the key for employers is to understand what their obligations are mm-hmm. under USERRA and accepting that if USERRA requires that you take the person back, you're going to have to take the person back.
If there's no job, even if I don't have work, even if I don't have a position, maybe it's slow or we're on the brink of financial catastrophe and I'm laying people off, is there still an obligation to bring a person back under USERRA?
The employer is going to have a defense if their circumstances are so changed that it is unreasonable for them to bring the person back. If a person was in a group or a division with the company and that division has closed, the employer can treat that returning service member the same way that they treated everyone else in that division. So if everybody got laid off then the service member is going to be treated in the same way. It goes along with that escalator concept of USERRA. If the escalator, you know, people like to think the escalator is always going up, but sometimes it goes down. And if they would have been laid off had they been here as opposed to being on service, then they're subject to that layoff.
Well, Marcy, what happens, though, if somebody joins the military, and when they do so, they tell their employer, I'm out of here. This is it. Sayonara.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting question under USERRA. The employee, in order to make it through those gates that we talked about earlier, the obligations of the employee to get coverage under USERRA, the employee has to give notice that they're going to service, and they have to be leaving for the purpose of the military service. But they don't have to give notice of their intent to return. So a person could actually say to their employer, I'm joining the Army, and I've hated working for you, and I don't ever want to work for you again. And they go off, and they work in the Army. You know, they do their service, and they come back, and they realize, hey, that job wasn't as bad as I thought it was. they still have the right to be reemployed. There's a little leeway for the employer relating to some benefits stuff, but for the most part, they have all the rights under USERRA.
That's all the time we have. The show went very quickly today. Marcy Frost, a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you, too.
And, John, we'll see you next week on the program.
Looking forward to it. Thank
Hopefully
you.
The weather's great and we can take the show somewhere outside.
I'm all in favor of that.
Let's try. And, Tom, great to see you again.
Thanks again, Steve.
And that is Minnesota Law, presented by Moss and Barnett, online at moss-barnett.com.